Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 423. Give me, O Lord, an understanding heart, that I may learn to know myself in Thee, to spurn the wrong and choose the better part, and thus from sinful bondage be set free. Hymn number 423. The scriptural this morning will be given by Benjamin from Plainfield.
I will read from Matthew. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our
Father, which art in heaven.
Our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 51. Eternal mind the potter is, and thought the eternal clay. The hand that fashions is divine, his works pass not away. Man is the noblest work of God, his beauty, power, and grace immortal, perfect as his mind reflected face to face. Hymn number 51. Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We have members and participants from around the world. And you can find us on our website, plainfieldcs.com. And you can find us on YouTube, SoundCloud, Facebook, and Twitter. We conduct services every Sunday morning, beginning at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion. And we have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15, where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives saved through the study and practice of Christian Science. And you can listen to all of our services either on our website, on YouTube, or from your telephone via teleconference number that we provide. On Sundays, we also have a Sunday school class for children of all ages, and that takes place at 11 o'clock Sunday morning. And it is also conducted via teleconference, has its own teleconference number. So if you do have a child that would like to attend a Christian Science Sunday school, and you don't live in the area, just call the church and we'll be happy to give you the number, and your child will be most welcome. And for all of our services, we have a nursery available for infants and toddlers. So bring the whole family. Next Saturday, we will have another Bible study session, and that'll take place at 10 o'clock next Saturday morning. The study questions will be on our website shortly, so check the website for the study questions. And please join us next Saturday at 10 a.m. Everyone is welcome here, and that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. We will now have the reading of a testimony from the chapter entitled Fruitage in Science and Health, which attests to the healing power obtained by reading the Christian Science textbook. And that will be given this morning by Lucy from Florida.
Page 677. A voice from England. For a number of years, I was a weary woman, not ill enough in health to be called an invalid, but suffering more than could be told with fatigue and weakness. Feeling that this was God's will, I did not ask to be healed, although I was constantly doctoring. I suffered with dyspepsia, congestion of the liver, and many other things, including weak eyesight. With all the medicine and with different changes for rest, I never regained health and thought I never should. So I prayed for grace to bear my cross patiently for others' sake. One day, while lying on my couch exhausted, which had become a frequent experience, the words came to me, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." I rose, knelt down, and said, "O God, make me well." I was telling a friend this, and she kindly gave me a sentinel. Imagine my joy when I saw the testimonies of healing. I believed them, remembering our Lord's words, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." I obtained a copy of Science and Health, and before a week had passed, I realized that if God was my all, I needed no glasses. My eyes were healed in a few days, and since then, I have never thought of glasses. I was also cured of dyspepsia, and nothing that I have eaten has hurt me since then. The belief in health laws was next destroyed by knowing that our Heavenly Father did not make them. And from this has come the beautiful experience of overcoming of fatigue. For this alone, I can never be thankful enough. True, indeed, are the words, "They shall run and not be weary." This was more than a year ago, and I can say not once have I felt inclined to lie on the couch, nor have I had a headache, although I am doing more work than ever before. Fear has also been overcome in many ways. A.L. Chelmsford, England.
The lesson sermon for this morning can be found on page 24 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject matter. Golden text, Leviticus. "Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. I am the Lord your God." Responsive reading, Psalms. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble.
Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea,
though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof.
There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High.
God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early.
The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted.
Be still, and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
Fairley from Maryland will read from the Bible.
Holy Bible, Deuteronomy. Hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude. Only ye heard a voice, and he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Second Chronicles. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Baalim, and made groves and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. So Manasseh made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to err and to do worse than the heathen whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake to Manasseh and to his people, but they would not hearken. Wherefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the host of the king of Assyria, which took Manasseh among the thorns and bound him with fetters and carried him to Babylon. And when he was in affliction, he besought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. And he repaired the altar of the Lord and sacrificed thereon peace offerings and thank offerings, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Psalms. The Lord reigneth. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitude of isles be glad thereof. The hills melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. For thou, Lord, art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Matthew. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy. And he healed them. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon. First Corinthians. Brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. 1 John. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen.
Florence from Georgia will now read.
I will read correlative passages from our textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Exodus 23. The first commandment is my favorite text. It demonstrates Christian Science. It inculcates the triunity of God, Spirit, Mind. It signifies that man shall have no other spirit or mind but God, eternal good, and that all men shall have one mind. The divine principle of the first commandment bases the science of being by which man demonstrates health, holiness, and life eternal. Mind is the grand creator, and there can be no power except that which is derived from mind. If mind was first chronologically, is first potentially, and must be first eternally, then give to mind the glory, honor, dominion, and power everlastingly due its holy name. The ancient Christians were healers. Why has this element of Christianity been lost? Because our systems of religion are governed more or less by our systems of medicine. The first idolatry was faith in matter. The supposition that life, substance, and intelligence are in matter or of it is an error. Matter is neither a thing nor a person, but merely the objective supposition of spirit's opposite. The five material senses testify to truth and error as united in a mind both good and evil. Their false evidence will finally yield to truth, to the recognition of spirit and of the spiritual creation. We bow down to matter and entertain finite thoughts of God like the pagan idolater. Mortals are inclined to fear and to obey what they consider a material body more than they do a spiritual God. All material knowledge, like the original tree of knowledge, multiplies their pains, for mortal illusions would rob God, slay man, and meanwhile would spread their table with cannibal tidbits and give thanks. In divine science, the supposed laws of matter yield to the law of mind. What are termed natural science and material laws are the objective states of mortal mind. The physical universe expresses the conscious and unconscious thoughts of mortals. Physical force and mortal mind are one. Drugs and hygiene oppose the supremacy of the divine mind. Drugs and inert matter are unconscious, mindless. Certain results supposed to proceed from drugs are really caused by the faith in them, which the false human consciousness is educated to feel. It is recorded that profession of medicine originated in idolatry with pagan priests who besought the gods to heal the sick and designated Apollo as the god of medicine. He was supposed to have dictated the first prescription according to the history of 4,000 years of medicine. It is here noticeable that Apollo was also regarded as the sender of disease, the god of pestilence. Hippocrates turned from image gods to vegetable and mineral drugs for healing. This was deemed progress in medicine. But what we need is the truth which heals both mind and body. The future history of material medicine may correspond with that of its material god Apollo, who was banished from heaven and endured great sufferings upon earth. Drugs, cataplasms, and whiskey are stupid substitutes for the dignity and potency of divine mind and its efficacy to heal. When mortals forsake the material for the spiritual basis of action, drugs lose their healing force, for they have no innate power. Moses declared as Jehovah's first command of the Ten, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." But behold the zeal of belief to establish the opposite error of many minds. The argument of the serpent in the allegory, "Ye shall be as gods," edges through every avenue the belief that soul is in body and that infinite spirit and life is in finite forms. Is civilization only a higher form of idolatry, that man should bow down to a flesh brush, to flannels, to baths, diet, exercise, and air? Nothing save divine power is capable of doing so much for man as he can do for himself. The thunder of Sinai and the Sermon on the Mount are pursuing and will overtake the ages, rebuking in their course all error and proclaiming the kingdom of heaven on earth. Moses advanced the nation to the worship of God in spirit instead of matter and illustrated the grand human capacities of being bestowed by immortal mind. In Egypt, it was mind which saved the Israelites from belief in the plague. In the wilderness, streams flowed from the rock, and manna fell from the sky. The Israelites looked upon the brazen serpent and straightway believed that they were healed of the poisonous stings of vipers. In national prosperity, miracles attended the successes of the Hebrews, but when they departed from the true idea, their demoralization began. Even in captivity, among foreign nations, the divine principle wrought wonders for the people of God in the fiery furnace and in kings' palaces. in reality, the more closely error simulates truth and so-called matter resembles its essence, mortal mind, the more impotent error becomes as a belief. According to human belief, the lightning is fierce and the electric current swift. Yet, in Christian Science, the flight of one and the blow of the other will become harmless. The more material the belief, the more obvious its error, until divine spirit, supreme in its domain, dominates all matter, and man is found in the likeness of spirit, his original being. The broadest facts array the most falsities against themselves, for they bring error from undercover. It requires courage to utter truth, for the higher truth lifts her voice, the louder will error scream, until its inarticulate sound is forever silenced in oblivion. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. This scripture indicates that all matter will disappear before the supremacy of spirit.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let us now sing hymn number 301. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. Saw ye my Savior, heard ye the glad sound, felt ye the power of the word? 'Twas the truth that made us free, and was found by you and me in the life and the love of our Lord. Hymn number 301.
It seems like forever when you're on the downside.
It seems no one's with you, walking stride for stride. You
Let us now sing hymn number 181. Loving Father, we thy children look to thee in fear's dark night, while the angels of thy presence guide us upward to the light. Hymn number 181.
Oh. I will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. From Psalms, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen.